Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Michael, the Hebrew Hammer Brown. I am coming to you live as we do after every single Houston Rockets game. Tonight, post-game Rockets, Lakers, Rockets drop. Game to the Lakers inside of Toyota Center, 132-123. There's a lot to break down in tonight's game. I'm sure we're going to have a ton of discussion about LeBron James. And by the way, let me go on record. I'll save that for a few minutes. Lucas, always good to see you here in the room. I am taking any and all calls tonight. Hit that request to speak button. I want to hear you on tonight's show. I will keep this room open for as long as you guys want me to keep this room open, because I'm going to tell y'all something. I got a lot of stuff to say about tonight. A lot. It's going to be controversial. Let me put that out there right now, that I've got some stuff that maybe not a lot of people will agree with, but I'm going to speak my truth, because that's what tonight is about. The Rockets lost to the Lakers, and they lost to the refs tonight, because some of those calls were absolutely horrible. And let me go on record this early in the show, and I'm going to tell y'all this. LeBron James, a phenomenal basketball player. My opinion, top five of all time. He is not better than Jordan. Don't bring that into this room tonight. I don't want to hear LeBron is the greatest basketball player ever, because he's not. In my opinion, he's not. Phenomenal player, absolutely. Here's the thing, okay? And I've said it time and time again. I hate losing to average to below average NBA players. Do not come to me and tell me Stanley Johnson is an above-average NBA player, because he's not. Give up 9 points to him tonight. Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony are two of the most overrated players to play the game of basketball in the last 20 years. Great stat fillers. Are they fun? Are they energetic? Does Carmelo Anthony do that stupid thing with the three? You know, anytime he hits a three, he touches the side of his, you know, half-filled brain. Yeah. You know what? He does that. Great. Nice player. Russell Westbrook, nice player. There's a reason why he's played for three different franchises the past 3 years. Because he's not a game changer taking a franchise to an elite level by himself. He has to play second fiddle to somebody else. Avery Bradley, 14 points. Inexcusable. Malik Monk, 25 points. You gave up 25 points to Malik Monk? Come on, man. Come on, man. Carmelo Anthony, 24 points. Whoop-de-doodle-doo. Congrats. Score 24 points. Whoop-de-doo. How many times tonight? And Jonathan puts it in the, starts it off in the chat. The Rockets' defensive rotations tonight were hot, flaming garbage. Garbage. They are garbage. You can tell. You watched the game tonight. One team wanted this win more than the other team. The Lakers were desperate for a win. Okay? Desperate for a win tonight. I tip my hat to them. The Rockets are completely a rebuilding team, and the Lakers have championship aspirations. They ain't winning a championship with that roster. They were missing AD tonight. Oh, here's a shock. Anthony Davis was hurt again. Okay? They're a nice team. LeBron, otherworldly player. I'll never forgive him for remaking Space Jam or making another Space Jam. That's inexcusable. And we got a decent crowd tonight. Again, as always, you want to talk Rockets basketball, you hit the request to speak button. I'll bring you up here on stage. 100%. Looking at the Rockets box score tonight. David Nwaba, 7 points. Defensively, David Nwaba was a rock star tonight, because his effort level is what you want from the rest of the team. Christian Wood, 22 points. 6 rebounds, 3 of 6 from the free throw line. Not okay with that. But I will say, Christian Wood, this is an example tonight. This individual game, I'm not talking about previous games. Let's not talk about his stats for the year. Tonight was a reason you do not give him near max money. Because you saw what he was tonight. Tonight, individually tonight, could it change for the rest of the season? Absolutely. He doesn't have that killer mentality, it doesn't seem like. And it's hard. There's not a lot of dudes in this league that have that killer mentality. Tonight is a reason why I could see people saying do not pay him long-term to be here. And Mike, good friend of the show, you know, he's like a second cousin, you know, to me. Love him like family. He says he's earned it. I don't know if he's talking about, okay, sorry, I thought you were talking about Christian Wood. We're talking about Josh Christopher in a minute. But tonight was a reason why I could see why fans do not want to pay Christian Wood long-term. Eric Gordon, 13 points tonight. He took a backseat to the starting backcourt tonight, which we're going to get to in a minute. Kevin Porter Jr. played 35 minutes, 22 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 8 of 17 from the field. He was special tonight. And at the end, I loved him going at McCry James. I loved it. I loved the game was out. I think we were down 8 and he hit a 3 with like 49 seconds left. He hit a 3 right in McCry's eyes. And it was gorgeous. And he started talking trash to McCry. Because so many people in this league are so afraid of a guy like McCry James. You know, the fact that you talk trash to him like the kids in Indiana did and you had him thrown out of the game. That's why he's soft. That's why he will never be in the same discussion for me as a Michael Jordan. He just never will be. Because Michael would take your heart out. He would rip it out of your chest, stomp on it on the court. And Jacob says, "La bitch." I'm not going to go that far. This is a family show, but I get where you're coming from. I just don't like LeBron James. I never have. I never will as a basketball player. I won't even get into off the court because we keep everything on the court here. We don't make anything personal. I don't like the way he acts on a court. His style and the way he plays, he's a rock star of a basketball player. Like I said, top five of all time. But I don't have to like him. I hate how cocky he and his little band of misfits are for a team that came into tonight at 16 and 18. Okay. You want to parade around the court and start, you know, acting like you run the world. How about you have more than 16 wins coming in and beating a Rockets team that has 10 wins on the year? Shangoon, 15 minutes. Let's talk about this real quick because Rockets Twitter and a lot of y'all are in this room right now. Come on, man. Like, everybody attacking each other about the number of minutes that Shangoon's getting and trying to make this kid out to be some sort of savior for the franchise. Let me tell y'all this real quick. And don't forget this. Shangoon is going to be a great player for this team. If you ask me whose team this is in 3 years, this is Jalen Green's team. Jalen Green's team. Jalen Green is the superstar to be of the Houston Rockets. And that was on display tonight. So if you ask me, who do I want to make the unheralded star of this team and the guy that I put all of our faith behind, it's Jalen Green over Shangoon. Now, the Rockets are lucky that we have both guys. But you saw tonight, when healthy, Jalen Green is going to be a superstar in this league. Okay. And I see the chat is blowing up tonight about Josh Christopher. 27 minutes. He had 14 points. He was a zero in the plus minus category. So he literally played, he helped the Rockets rotations play even against the Lakers when he was on the court in 27 minutes. Ryan Hollins pointed it out throughout the broadcast that the entire game outside of LeBron, the Lakers never played a rim protector. And tonight, the Rockets from three, what did they shoot from three? 16 of 35. Good percentage from the three-point line. However, if you're going to be playing against the team without a shot blocker, true shot blocker, and of course, LeBron had one of his trademarked, you know, come from behind blocks that, you know, congrats. You blocked David Nwaba into the second row. Congrats. To a bunch of fans, they probably paid to be there. That's another thing. I refuse to go to Rockets-Lakers games inside of Toyota Center because way too many fake Laker fans in the building that if you go up to them, The only reason why they're a fan is because of LeBron James. They're not Lakers fans. They're fake Lakers fans. You go up to them, you start asking them about Rick Fox, Derek Fisher, Luke Walton, Robert Horry, you know, Michael Cooper, all these different guys. They have no idea who these dudes are. They're fake Lakers fans. And I'm not going to sit next to, you know, a 22-year-old man that's wearing an Astros hat and a Lakers t-shirt. I'm not going to do it. I've done it enough. My blood pressure has gone up high enough that I'm not going to sit next to fake, tough guy Lakers fans who want to talk to me about, oh, LeBron James is it. You don't even know who LeBron James is outside of his time with the Lakers. Okay, so you can miss me with all of those Laker fans that were inside of the building tonight. Miss me with that in its entirety. And if you want to talk anything Rockets related, Rockets Lakers, Rockets rotations, Rockets draft, Rockets free agency, hit that request to speak button. I will take any and all of your calls tonight. Okay, I want to hear what you have to say. We'll go to James. James, it's been a while. Happy holidays to you and the family. What's going on?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on again. Appreciate you.
Oh, of course. Of course.
What you got? Just wanted to point out, you know, tonight made me upset, you know, because we definitely could have won this game. And I think it's a good thing that it made me upset because, you know, we're competing against a LeBron and Westbrook Lakers team who just lost 5 in a row. You know, we're playing back-to-back. They haven't played since Christmas. You know, there's a lot we need to fix, you know, especially defensively and stuff, but tonight, I mean, tonight was fun to watch.
It was fun. Yeah,
it really was.
Listen, the backcourt for the Rockets is legit. And that's not to say that down the road at some point that they can't upgrade. And I'll tell you this, there's two guys in the league I would trade Kevin Porter Jr. for currently. And that's Ja Morant and De'Aaron Fox. Those are the two dudes that I look to.
Yes and yes.
Where I would put that type of deal together in 5 seconds, right? But tonight, what makes me so excited, I hate LeBron James. I hate him. I've never liked him. Great player, okay? But the thing with his teams, you have to respect his game. But you saw Russell Westbrook. Thank God we're not a part of the Russell Westbrook experiment anymore. We haven't even talked about that because he never felt like a Rocket to me. Kevin Porter Jr. has that Rockets feel to me, right? Like he has that. It's hard to explain, right? Like,
the storyline behind him is just awesome. You know,
it's awesome.
Messing up in Cleveland, coming here cheap. You know, has a chance to regrow himself. You know, a new team.
You only know if you know about guys like, I'm trying to think of examples. Think about Rockets point guards of yesteryear, right? Rafer Alston, Bob Sura, Sam Cassell. You had guys like, you know, doesn't Kevin Porter Jr., watching him play reminds me a hell of a lot. He's more explosive than Ketino Mobley, but he's got that Ketino Mobley vibe. Lefty.
Yeah, I agree. He has that H-Town vibe. I 100%
you know,
agree with
lefty,
that.
Lefty, good, you know, nice-looking jump shot, toughness to him. Like, Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. give me a lot of vibes of Steve Francis and Ketino Mobley. And that's not a bad thing at all. It's just one of those, like, I'm watching the Lakers tonight, and I just remember tonight was the first night I looked at the Rockets in a while, and I'm like, you know what? This is what it's supposed to feel like to have a young, fun, hardworking group. Like, Josh Christopher is that dude. I love Josh Christopher.
And the pace was just incredible.
And tonight was also another example of, I've been on this train for a while, that the Şengün hype is a little overblown to me. Like, I'm not going to get into Twitter beefs with, you know, anybody in Rocketsville about it, because it seems like it's, you say a bad thing about Şengün, it's like, oh my God, you're a terrible human being. It's not that at all for me. It's the,
you
guys got to slow down the hype on him a little bit. Like, I love...
Yeah, I mean, you can never make everybody happy with what you have to say about Şengün and Wood. You know, somebody's going to be upset.
Ryan Hollins is big on Şengün, and I'm with you. But defensively, he's atrocious. Outside of taking charges, his defensive rotations are mediocre at best. He's not a great rebounder, and he gets bullied in the block.
Yeah, he's got to be quicker. You know?
His lateral quickness has been a problem for weeks. But he's 19 years old. It's hard to jump down a guy's throat. But if Rockets Nation is going to be yelling for this guy to get more minutes, then stop fouling as much as you are. You had 3 fouls in 4 minutes tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be hard for him because, like, I feel like his heavy base and his, like, the way he plays just, like, kind of slower, I feel like that's going to be – it's going to just take longer to kind of develop. You know, early he's just getting exposed. But hopefully in a couple years, in a couple seasons, he kind of can use that to his advantage, you know.
I want him to succeed. Look, the Rockets have had and continue to have and will have big man problems on this roster because their front line doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. Şengün and Wood match what the Rockets want to do pace-wise. Like, Şengün plays quick enough to play with the Rockets' guards, but he can't stay on the court. You know, in 15 minutes, he was a plus two tonight. Well, it doesn't hurt. You know, he scored 10 points. Two of those points were when he literally had the ball next to the bucket, and he's playing against a non-shot blocker. I think he had the bucket against Carmelo, if I remember that correctly. Like, he's dominated.
Yeah, he had a couple against Carmelo.
Nice. He dominated in that possession against a guy that, first of all, doesn't play any defense. Okay? Like I said, I stand by my statement. I've said it for years. Carmelo and Russell Westbrook are two of the most overrated basketball players to play the game of basketball in the past 20 years. I hate their games. I just don't. Westbrook fills up the stat sheet. Whoop-de-doo. No one cares. Who cares?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, those guys got a vendetta, or at least Melo definitely has a vendetta against us, you know?
Yeah, because
we cut him, you know?
Yeah, because he gets in his feelings about the way we cut him. Like, put your big boy pants on. Yeah. You know, there's a reason why Portland didn't want you back. I mean, if they did, you know, they didn't do whatever it took to keep him. He doesn't move the needle anymore. That Lakers team is not good enough to win a championship. You know? And D saying your cap on Russ and Melo. Because I'm so sick and tired of hearing about them. I'm so sick and tired about hearing about this Lakers team. I hate it. I fucking hate it, dude.
And that's all you're going to see, too. I mean, you go anywhere and you're going to hear about it, see about it.
Look, LeBron's a phenomenal talent. Focusing on the Rockets tonight, there's a ton of positives to take away from tonight. You know, the Rockets only turned the ball over 14 times, you know, which is great. Mm-hmm. And D says they're washed now, but the career was really good. Okay. I mean, their career was really good for what? The amount of, you know, non-important, you know, trophies that they can put into their trophy case. Like, what? Congrats, Russ. You have an MVP. So? And I say so as a fan. Like, I could never do that. But you want to sit here and tell me that Carmelo – don't tell me they're going to go to the Hall of Fame because everybody in professional basketball goes to the Hall of Fame. It wouldn't be shocking if Brian Scalabrine ended up in the Hall of Fame one day. Like, yeah, they had nice careers. So? But we move on.
Yeah, but for like a Rockets, a young team like the Rockets, I feel like that was the difference tonight. You know, having LeBron, it was easy for him to slow down the game, easy layups for other guys. That's how everybody was able to, I mean, there's three other guys scoring like 20 points.
Yeah.
Because LeBron was just slowing down the offense, open look after open look after open look. Or, I mean, it was just, that's going to need a change. And I look forward to us, you know, learning from tonight.
The Rockets are going to get there. You know, the high point from this is it looks like they stole Josh Christopher at 24 in the draft. I mean, he's an absolute steal the way that he's playing. Jalen Green is Jason. He's the Bud Light version of Jason Tatum right now. I stand by that comparison 185% that he's going to be Jason Tatum.
What I noticed with Christopher, it was like, you know, whenever a player goes up for a layup and he falls down and then he makes the bucket and the offense, the defense team just completely starts the offense, runs down the court, and it's automatically a 5-on-4, you know? But Christopher is that type of dude where he goes up for a layup, he makes it, they're pushing, and he's already down the court. You know, this man, he is constantly full sprint, and I love seeing it, you know?
Yeah, and I think another thing with Jalen Green continues to impress that he just shuts his mouth and just plays 98% of the time.
Yeah.
Like the, what's it called? The goaltending at the end, it's textbook in the rule book. You cannot touch the rim or the backboard after the ball has touched either one of those surfaces. LeBron grabs the rim. It should have been goaltending. That would have made it a 2-point game. No, what was it? They were down. Where were they down? They were down two. Yeah, no, they were down two at that point. That would have tied it. They didn't call goaltending. And then they came down at the end, or Carmelo came down and hit a three and put him down five.
Yeah, that was a call. Was it because the ball didn't hit the rim?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
LaCroix is going to get that call every single time. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous how the refs are just look at him waiting for him to say something. You know, it's just.
Yeah, but before we wrap up, because I got to get to my next speaker, James, the thing about it is I'm not even mad that they lost tonight. I'm really not. I'm at the point now where I've gone through the stages of, what is it, grief about this team. Like, at this point, if they win, phenomenal. If they don't, we look at the positives. The Rockets had multiple positives out of tonight. Don't forget, playing without Garrison Matthews, playing without Jayshon Tate, playing without KJ Martin Jr., and playing without DJ Augustine. And yes, they were playing without Anthony Davis. They were missing. Who else were they missing tonight? Dwight. They had multiple guys that didn't play tonight. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's going to be the rest of the season. You know, that's what it's looking like to me.
James, it's a pleasure as always, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Happy New Year, brother. All right, let's go to our next speaker request out in Sugarland, Texas, Lewis. Lewis, welcome to the show. What's going on? Make sure to unmute that microphone.
Great show as usual. And, you know, I love all the listeners. They're so passionate. I think the youngness of this team, you know, you could talk about it all night. I mean, the backcourt, if they keep them together, they're going to be a great backcourt. You know, Josh Christopher, you know, Steele, like you said. And the Sengun thing, I mean, I like him. He's Paul Gasol light. But he just makes some really stupid plays and stupid turnovers. And I think, you know, I watched the game tonight. It was fun. I liked the pace. But I think if you look at the statistics, we got out-rebounded by a team with no center. We got out-rebounded by 18 tonight, and they had 14 offensive rebounds. If we do anything, if and when we flip Gordon, when we flip Wall, we've got to get a guy who can play in the paint, block some shots, and get some rebounds. To me, I think that's one of the only things that this team is missing right now is a guy who can, you know, Ryan Hollins keeps referring to the 50-50 balls. We didn't get 50-50 balls tonight. And 14 offensive rebounds is too much. So I think if we can concentrate on finding that player, I think this team is going to be good in a few years, but you got to get that beast. And maybe next year, whoever that Evan Mobley beast is, that's the guy we got to take. So,
well, you look at a guy, I give you a name that is readily available in trade rumors is Domantas Sabonis from Indiana. You know, Sabonis is averaging 12 rebounds a game. Look, there's no lack. They can't rebound. Christian Wood is not that dude. He's just not. So let's start the conversation here. Would you sign Christian Wood to the John Collins deal, which is 5 years, $125 million? And don't say, you know, not my money. Why do I care? As a player, would you sign Christian Wood to that deal?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean,
he's not he's not a $120 million guy. Do I like Christian Wood? Yes. Did he purposely want to come here. Now, you know, maybe he thought he was going to be playing with Harden and Westbrook. I get it. But I think he's a nice player to put next to a Sabonis or I'll just throw a name like a Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton type of person. Okay. That's where I think Christian would flourish. But he's not that guy who's going to go in and block a lot of shots for you and get a lot. I mean, he gets a lot of rebounds, but he doesn't get important rebounds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, D in the chat says, don't want Sabonis. Sorry. Why would you not want a Domantas Sabonis? And obviously the big argument against him would be he doesn't fit the Rockets timeline. Well, what timeline? Who set forth these timelines that Red Nation loves to talk about? And my co-host, who I love, you know, like a brother, you know, talks about the fact that the Rockets, you know, you want to plan for down the road and the Rockets are going to be good in a couple of years. I think the Rockets have pieces now that if you can add to them smartly in the next 12 to 18 months, this is a playoff team next year, in my eyes. I think they could have been, at the beginning of the year, if Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. didn't miss what feels like the last 6 weeks, the Rockets probably pick up another couple wins where they're still in the conversation to be in the play-in tournament at the end of the year.
Well, you know, first of all, screw down the road. You know, I'm tired of all my teams playing for down the road. You know, I want my team to want to play for right now, and I get it. We blew up the team. But, you know, if you're talking about Sabonis, I'll tell you who fits this team better than him is Miles Turner, okay? Miles Turner's
a
beast.
I'm a big fan of Turner.
I mean, he destroyed us, and that's a guy who's going to block some shots for you, who's going to get inside, is going to dunk the ball, start a lot of fast breaks. I mean, if you're going to make a run at somebody from Indiana, I go for Miles Turner.
That's fair. Any final thoughts from you, sir, before we move on to the next speaker request?
Nope. I love everyone's passion because they just really want this team to win, and it's just refreshing. And just keep up the good work. We appreciate it.
My man. All right. Good passion from the Rockets tonight. I love it. Let's go to Adam. Adam on a cellular. Welcome to the show. Happy early new year. What's going on, my man?
Hey, thanks for kind of having the show tonight. A couple quick thoughts. I definitely thought we could attribute the better energy to, you know, Porter and Green being in the game. And I think some of it's just attributable to just this being a young team. You know, young teams, they play better at home. You know, it's harder for them to kind of keep that same energy on the road. And so, you know, this is what you would generally expect. I agree with you, what you said about Christian Wood. I mean, he was the tallest player on the court at 6'10", you know, 6'11", whatever he is. And just, he didn't play, you know, it was just dumbfounding how he just wouldn't assert, you know, just go establish yourself on the block and score 30, 35. And just, right. And I mean, this is kind of what we saw in the Indiana game as well. That's what Miles Turner did to us. Miles Turner is a pretty decent 3-point shooter for a big guy, but I mean, he pounded us on the inside. Christian Wood was just, you know, he made, you know, his first two or three 3-pointers and he just, you know, stood out there and just kept shooting them from the outside. And that's what the Lakers wanted, you know, like.
Well, and you've been on this train for a while, and I'm looking around Rockets Twitter right now. And what I love about this fan base is you'll have five people, you have, take 10 people, 10 Twitter accounts. Five will say he had a good game. Five will say he had a terrible game. he falls in the middle for me. Like, you look at his stat sheet. He had 22 points, turned the ball over three times. He had a block. He had three steals. He had three assists. He had six rebounds. Like, the fact that he only had six rebounds against this team is not good. That it's just not fair. You know, for a guy of his height, like you said, to only have six rebounds is not acceptable. And, I mean, we go back and forth, Adam. Like, I feel like you and I are in this weird relationship with Christian Wood where I don't know what I would do if I was a Rocket front office. Because I think if you move him, I think it's wrong. I think paying him the massive contract is wrong, but somewhere in the middle, you know, if they could get him for the Eric Gordon deal, which was, what, 4 years, $80 million, I might be open to that, you know? Because if you give him a legit – that's what he doesn't have. He doesn't have a legit banger of a running buddy. That's what he needs. He needs a Julius Randle. He needs a, you know, maybe a Paolo Banchero. Like, he needs a dude that'll do the dirty work for him. And they just don't have it.
I mean, he's a good rebounder. You know, he averages 12, 13 rebounds a game. And most people, they don't watch the Rockets because we're just a bad team, right? And so if you just look at the box score after every Rockets game, and this guy's continually putting up 20 and 13, right. Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. You know, that's the standard of a good player. And I just want Christian Wood to be great because I see that he can be great. So if this was a different player that was maximizing his talent, I'd be fine with it. You know, like I know Jayshon Tate maximizes his talent on the floor, but Christian Wood he has all the tools to be, you know, Anthony Davis light out there. You know, he has the chance to, you know, to average 25 and 12 a game and really impact the game on a night in, night out basis. And he is content with putting up 20 and 10 on teams that he should be putting up 35 and 15 on. And that's just his nature, you know? That's just who he is. And the good thing that I will say that we don't see, because we're in the midst of the Rockets' kind of sphere of influence, Christian Wood has a ton of value out there in the league. The way teams talk about him on other podcasts and other, you know, they would love to have him. So his value will never be higher than it is this season. It just won't be. Yep.
Well, what do you want for him? What do you want for him?
You could get a lot for him. I think.
What is a lot? Give me a realistic trade package for Christian Wood.
I think you could get Miles Turner for Christian Wood pretty much straight up. You know, I think he has that much value. I think a team like.
Would you do it? Would you do that deal?
Yeah, because this team. Offense is not the problem for this team. It's defense. And you saw it tonight. You know, Jalen Green had a great game, you know, offensively. But this team, and I thought Kevin Porter Jr., he's improved on defense, and he kept Russ in front of him for a little bit in the first quarter. But ultimately, this team needs defense. And that's why I would also be open to a Ben Simmons trade, because you just need to improve yourself on the defensive side of the ball. And be able to then, you know, still allow kind of your backcourt of the future to kind of to push you forward and propel you forward. But you need defense above all else. More than anything else right now, you need a defensive presence. That's why I'd be hesitant with Sabonis, because he's just not. He's not a rim protector. He's not great on, you know, he'll improve your offense, but that's not where we have issues. And so I think there are packages out there, you know, for Christian Wood. I think, you know, if you paired him with Eric Gordon, you get a lot more as well. I think Eric Gordon has a lot of value, but.
Oh. See, I don't agree with that, because I think separating them, you get maximum value. My thing though, with what Dee just said, rushing the rebuild leads to mediocrities. I don't agree with that.
I don't want to rush the rebuild either.
What does that mean though?
Like a rebuild. No. So when I say it like that, so I think for you to be ready to kind of, you know, say we are, you know, we're ready to make, you know, to be a perennial playoff team, you need at least one or two real guys in this league, guys that are borderline all-star players. You know, if you're just going all in, you know, when your team isn't ready, then I think you do more harm to your future. If we thought that, and I think Kevin Porter Jr. has a chance this year, I think he can make a jump. If we see him able to make a jump this year to get the same kind of jump that John Morant made, you know, in his second year, obviously Kevin Porter Jr. is, this is his third year. I think then maybe you take that chance, but ultimately, if something, it's all about in the perspective of the development of these young guys and what they, and what's going to be best for them to develop and what's not going to hinder them in the future. And it's about who you're getting and how they fit with the team. That's a big issue that, you know, we see night in, night out. You know, obviously removing Tice from the starting line has been great for us, you know, in perspective to kind of how we were before, right? A lot of people like to quote, you know, we are 2-17 or now 2-18 with Jalen Green playing. A lot of those games were with Tice, you know, manning, you know, kind of a two big starting lineup. But ultimately, like even tonight, I can see it from Christian Wood's perspective. Kind of last point, I'll get your kind of feedback. Christian Wood, I can see why he would be frustrated with Silas, right? He goes at the game, you know, 10 minutes of game time and Şengün's in there. He just, you know, he loses all, you know, I can see how he might say, you know, I'm not part of the offense. I've lost kind of my feel for the game. And then I come back in with 4 minutes to go and we're down by, you know, 5 points. It's, you know, I can see how he's frustrated, you know, with the kind of rotations of Steven Silas. And earlier in the season, that led him to sulk and basically be like, all right, you think you don't need me to win? Then I'm just not going to put my full effort out there. You know, that's his fault. But I can see just there's, you know, the coaching staff's figuring stuff out. You know, we'd like them to figure it out sooner. But ultimately, I see it from all perspectives. And, you know, there are bright spots, but ultimately they got to just improve on their defense. Jalen Green had a great game, but he's bad on defense. Like Malik Monk scored most of his points on him, you know? And even with the Rockets basically playing five out, because Christian Wood was a big guard out there, they still, you know, I don't know how Silas can't devise something to help Jalen Green get to the basket a little easier on a team like the Lakers that people drive on them day in, day out, you know, it just, and the Lakers are not a good team. Like I don't feel good about this loss because the Lakers are, that's a bad team that we played today. There's a reason they lost five games in a row, you know?
Well, but they also a lot to break down there. So let me point by point, the Lakers are a bad team record wise. They still have LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. Okay. They still have enough talent to play with the Rockets, obviously. The second thing I want to touch on is everybody in the chat right now and listening to the show. Something that Adam said that I want to address is the, you know, when the Rockets are ready to acquire this, you know, auxiliary piece or pieces, how do you know when they're ready? Like, to me, it's all about you have, you know, set number of guys. Acquire those guys. If there's talent out there that can make you better, go get the talent if it's feasible. I'm not giving up the draft picks right now. Obviously not. If I'm trading Christian Wood, you better give me a hell of a return right now. With another year left on his contract and a guy who's averaging 17 and 12, I'm not saying I'm against trading him, but to me, it's all about the talent. Like, if you have a guy who's an 8 out of 10, if I can get an 8.2 out of 10, give me the 8.2 out of 10 is all I'm saying. Like, that's where I'm at with this. I don't understand the people out there that are – there's no definitive timeline, Adam, I guess is what I'm saying. That's what's so frustrating to me is the arguments against acquiring a guy like a Miles Turner. Miles Turner would give this team exactly what they desperately need, which is a true rim protector. You're going to tell me having a true rim protector wouldn't help the development of your backcourt, Jayshon Tate? Imagine throwing the ball down in the block to get Garrison Matthews more wide open shots, Armani Brooks more wide open shots. That's my thing, is that's what they're missing. Like, Turner is what, 25, 26 years old?
I think he's younger, same age as Christian Wood. Yeah.
You know, I'm just, I'm not as frustrated with the loss tonight. I'm frustrated with the overall sentiment that there's a playbook for what the Rockets are doing. There is no playbook. There are fans out there. Yeah. There are, I don't even listen to national media talk about the Rockets anymore because 9 out of 10 have no idea what the hell they're talking about. They don't even watch the games. The people out there that say, well, you got, you know, trust the process in Philadelphia. That's my favorite argument from anybody because Philadelphia has never even made the NBA finals under the trust the process process, if you will. You know, like there's no set playbook. Go get talent. I don't care where you get it from. The Rockets have building blocks on this team, which is great. I mean, that's phenomenal news for Rockets fans. Now go build on it. Go get a high lottery pick next year. I'd love to see them get some playmakers at the deadline. Love to see some playmakers at the deadline.
I agree with you. Like I'm not opposed to what you're saying. I think it just has to be the right players. And my, sure. You know, I think the trade we talked about, that would be the right player. You know, I don't care about timelines and things of that nature. I think what's been really difficult, as Rockets fans and probably for the organization this year is you really don't know how good this team can be with the full complement of players. We haven't seen the full complement of players. If we had, you know, the health and, that we would want, and we saw that this team was pushing for a, eighth or ninth spot, maybe the organization and, the fan base would be like, yeah, let's keep Eric Gordon. Let's keep these other players. Let's actually see how good we can actually be. But the frustrating thing is we don't know how good we can be because we haven't seen we haven't seen a full team over a prolonged period of time. And obviously we're 34, 36 games into the season. It's really difficult. And I'm kind of tempering a lot of my feedback because we really don't know who these players are, what they can be. And obviously, this is kind of a pivotal season for that. But for the right players, if somebody's out there that's going to be helpful to you and is not just going to be acquiring talent to acquire talent, but that actually fits how this team is being built, then that would be great. But a lot of this really depends on things that we don't have a lot of information on. We don't know how Stone wants to develop this team. We don't know. And from my perspective, from outside and with limited information, I think maybe they need to update their kind of modus operandi a little bit. You know, the kind of threes and layups, maybe they need to change that because maybe we don't have the player construction to fit that. You know, maybe that's not a great way to play. You know, I don't know. But like there's so many things that I think I'm still trying to make sense of as a Rockets fan watching these games. And at least I can say I enjoyed watching this game more than I liked watching kind of the last few weeks without Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. And that's probably the most important thing, you know?
Well, James just said it in the chat that, the guy you want, the guy that everyone's talking about, again, comes back to Jared Allen. Jared Allen would have been the perfect guy for this team. Literally, if you could handpick a guy in the league that you could have told me would fit in perfectly with Christian Wood, it's Jared Allen. I mean, you can't handpick a guy better than that. So they fumbled that. Okay. I think we're all in agreement. We love the upside of what they got for Harden. We don't need to go back to that. But James is right. Jared Allen would have been the perfect guy for this team. In summation, because we're about to wrap the show up, the one thing that I want more than anything, bring the effort every single night. I don't care about losses at this point. The losses don't mean anything to me. Okay. Improve your draft stock, whatever. But every single night, you have got to bring the energy, and I want to see the guys continue to improve. And that's what you saw tonight from a lion's share of guys on the roster that played tonight. Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green balled out tonight. That's enough for me to put my head on my pillow tonight and say, you know what? I'm happy with the Rockets' performance. Any final thoughts, Adam, before we wrap?
I'm in agreement. There's no reason a team as young as us should ever kind of have a mentality like a perennial kind of championship contender that we used to be and just can take nights off on the road. It just shouldn't happen. I almost felt like Silas and the coaching staff were just like, you know, maybe it's good. Let's just let them play this horrendous defense. We have this on tape and we can show it to them tomorrow. You know, they got 48 minutes of just horrendous defense on tape, and hopefully they can learn from that, you know, and hopefully they're actually kind of pointing this out to all players, not just Jalen Green or, you know, like the whole team. Cause they were all really bad with the exception of Nwaba. And Nwaba did what he could against LeBron. But yeah. Hopefully kind of, you know, the team will continue to be fun and they'll continue to show improvement here in the next.
Absolutely. Adam, thank you for joining. As always, happy early new year to you and the family, my man. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Programming note for everybody, our next game for the Rockets will be New Year's Eve. It feels like the Rockets play every year at home on New Year's Eve. So programming note, we will not be live after the game on Friday as we feel like everyone's going to be out having a good time, as you all should be. So we will actually be doing another show between either tomorrow night or Thursday. We'll make sure to post that on our Twitter account at The Dream Take on Twitter. Jeremy and I, possibly Ray, will break down everything 2021 and looking forward to 2022. So we'll give you all that content that we'll post Friday morning. So make sure to check that out. And then either Jeremy, myself, and Ray, or one of the three of us will be live after the game on Saturday. So Friday night, the Rockets play. They've got two games coming up in a row at home. Miami Friday night, Denver Saturday. We will be live Saturday night here on Spotify Green Room. We will not be live on Friday, but we will have a podcast out Friday morning, breaking down all things 2021 with Jeremy and myself. So make sure to check that out. Once again, next two games for the Rockets, Friday versus Miami. And then after the game on Saturday against Denver, we will be live here on Spotify Green Room. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Make sure to check out the Dream Take Twitter account at The Dream Take on Twitter. You can follow the mothership of The Dream Take, The Dream Shake at Dream Shake SBN. Check me out personally on Twitter at BSW_MB. Head on over to thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets every day that ends in Y. Once again, your unhappy final tonight. The Rockets fall to LaCry James, 132-123 inside of Toyota Center to drop the Rockets' record to 10-25. We will be live with you again Saturday night after the game. No post-game show Friday night for New Year's Eve, but we will have a show out for you guys Friday morning. Until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!